This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We all worry from time to time, and it's part of being human, but sometimes those worries don't stop when they should. They circle around and around in our heads, keeping us up late at night or weighing us down during the day. Well, on today's Mind Matters, we're joined by psychologist Anthony Smith to explore worry, rumination, and the practical ways we can take back some peace of mind. Anthony, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Warren. It's good to be back again.
How would you describe, I suppose, the difference between a passing concern or worry and rumination that just won't let go?
Yeah, and I think it's important to recognize that worry and rumination probably serve somewhat of a helpful purpose. If we're maybe faced, if we're talking about worry, faced with a problem where maybe we need to do some thinking in order to fix that. So it's usually a problem that's immediately in front of us. And some thinking is going to help maybe generate some solutions to the problem that we haven't thought of yet. But when worry becomes more about future what ifs and it doesn't actually lead to practical problem solving, or when rumination really keeps us being stuck in the past, maybe replaying mistakes, conversations, why did that happen?
I hate that. Loops.
Yeah. Of course, both of those things are normal, but when I guess they can become problematic when they're constant, intrusive, or start to interfere with other important things in our life.
Anthony, what I'm hearing there is no solution if we're ruminating. Is that right? So it's almost like we keep going over the same thing, searching for a solution, but there may not be a solution, which if someone just snapped us out of it and said, hey, there is no solution to this, you'd realize that you're stuck in the cycle.
Yeah, that can often be a really helpful strategy to really understand, like, is this a worry, something that's in front of me right now? Or am I thinking about something from the past? And is this actually useful for me to maybe think ahead about how I want to deal with that situation into the future? Then maybe there's some signs that this is somewhat useful or helpful worry of rumination. But when it begins to spiral out of control, when we're not actually solving problems that are in front of us, and the going back over the past stuff doesn't actually prepare us in any helpful way for the future, and that's usually when worry and rumination can become problematic for people.
Anthony, what about when someone, say you have a disagreement with someone or someone's rude to you and you're shocked by the encounter, and then you go away and you start ruminating on how you should have responded to that? Is that the same thing?
Yeah, it's often our brain trying to make sense of a scenario where maybe we don't have all the information. So why did that person behave in the way that they did? We think that if we think over and over and over, then maybe we'll find some solution to the questions that we're pondering. And of course, that can be the case. But sometimes, no matter how much thinking or worrying we're doing about something, we're not going to actually get those answers that we seek.
Many in our community deal with extra stresses like discrimination and minority stress. How can those experiences feed into patterns of worry or overthinking?
Yeah, so some kind of other members of our community might face discrimination. We've talked about some of this before, perhaps some of those microaggressions or rejection from other people. And those experiences can understandably feed worry or rumination. We might be replaying a hostile comment that someone's made or worrying about how safe we might be in certain spaces.
When we're caught in a worry loop, what's actually happening in our minds and our bodies? Why does it feel so hard to switch off from it?
Yeah. Well, I think what we're talking about is some very powerful inbuilt mechanisms in our body, which is often that fight, flight, freeze response that people talk about. And so really, stress and worry can at times be helpful if they're preparing our body to take some useful action, which is usually to run away from the threat or to maybe defend ourselves. What can happen with chronic worry is that our nervous system reacts as if there's a real threat, if there's really a tiger in the room. And our body is prepared to take a lot of physical action. So maybe our heart starts racing, our muscles tense, when there's not actually that physical action to take place. There's not the threat to run away from or something to defend ourselves from.
So we've turned today's problems into life-threatening threats, like a tiger ripping our guts out, for example.
What I often say is that that these mechanisms and these processes make a lot of sense and would have been really helpful for us thousands of years ago when there were a lot of threats in our environment, when there was the saber-toothed tiger to run away from. But our body and our brain perhaps needs a bit of a software upgrade given the world that we're living in these days.
Now, a lot of people notice their worries flare up at night. What are some simple things that we can try if we find ourselves lying awake and overthinking?
So one of my favorite strategies is really to think about what I call structured worry time. And that's when you really determine a time and a place, which isn't when you're sleeping or any time around bedtime. So it might be 11 o'clock and you might say that I'm going to do my worry at the same place, or it could be the kitchen table at 11 o'clock for 20 minutes. You might set yourself that very specific time. And during that structured worry time, which you might schedule every day or so, that's when you allow your brain to absolutely go into the worst case catastrophic worries that we might have.
It does too.
But when that worry time ends, it's important, this takes some practice to leave those worries within that kind of contained worry time. And any worries that might come in between the next scheduled worry time, so at 2 o'clock in the morning, perhaps you remind yourself that that's something you can think about during your next structured worry time.
And whilst we said before, you know, we don't have a tiger in the room as such, but a lot of worries can sometimes be tied to identity, family rejection, or even safety, which are significant threats. How do we care for ourselves when those worries feel very real and very justified?
Yes. And as I was talking about before, perhaps there are times when our worry and our anxiety does serve a useful purpose to us. And we need to pay attention to that because it keeps us safe. And of course, people might have very real valid worries and fears around coming out. Maybe it's rejection by family or safety. And these aren't imagined, these are real stresses. So I think the first important step is really reminding yourself that these feelings make sense in the context, that worry does serve a useful purpose for us sometimes. It does tell us important information. And maybe that's a time to connect with really our supportive networks, so our friends, people that affirm us, people that validate us. And when worries do feel valid and real, it's really about focusing on that small circle of things that are within our control.
So it's almost, please continue.
Yeah. And so that may be kind of choosing safe spaces or planning who we might speak to and really understanding there's a much bigger circle of all those things outside of our control.
So, Anthony, I feel like we almost need to look at our threats and sort of apply some sort of risk assessment or something. Say, okay, is this one a real one? Is this going to, is this threatening my survival and my safety? Or is this one just a bit uncomfortable because someone yelled at me?
Absolutely. So there's some really helpful questions. And the one that I often start with is this a threat in front of me right now that worrying is going to help serve some useful purpose to either defend myself or protect myself? Or am I kind of assuming a threat in this particular situation?
Anthony, we're running out of time because news is coming up. But finally, how does someone know when it's time to reach out for professional support from someone like yourself with worry or overthinking?
And so as we've spoken about, there is occasions where worry and rumination is appropriate. But if worry or rumination becomes constant, it's feeling really overwhelming or impacting on daily life, like sleep, work, concentration, or relationships, that's often a signal when maybe some professional help might be helpful.
A couple of SMSs. Sam Richmond says, wish my worries came with an off switch. Wouldn't that be good if we could do that? Jules in South Yarra, thanks, Anthony. Hearing this makes me feel less alone with my overthinking. And this segment is so needed. Thank you for making it simple and practical. And Alice says, really grateful for this advice. I've been struggling with rumination for years. You know what? The thing I've realized, we all seem to do it to some extent.
Yes.
We're not alone.
We're not alone. It's this very human thing. But some people have, I guess, some ways, some of the strategies that we've talked about today can be really effective in reducing the intensity of some of people's worries and ruminations.
Anthony, great to chat with you again. We'll talk to you for more Mind Matters next month.
Thank you very much, Warren.
Thank you. That's psychologist Anthony Smith.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.